Welcome to another episode of GT Radio. This is Tino Magnetta. We're going to have an amazing guest on our show this evening, Francis Saijon, the CEO of Coeur d'Alene. And you're known as Frenchie, right?
Yes, Tino. How you doing, Steven?
Good, good, good. Thanks for coming on the show. So we were talking a little bit about your name and how that came about. I heard that it was your grandfather, right?
Yeah, my grandfather gave me that nickname. My real name is Francis. I was named after him, but we have a lot of Francises, and so the cool names like Frank and whatever other nicknames go with Francis, but I ended up with Francois and Frenchie.
Yeah, I think Frenchie sounds. Yeah, Frenchie sounds a little bit better than Francois.
Yeah, right.
That would be a tough one. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm not even French.
Oh man. By the way, we were just talking, and then we were talking with Laura too. You guys have just completed an entertainment center and a whole thing there. It looks absolutely fantastic. So congratulations on all that.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a really exciting time for you guys, right?
Yeah, yes, it was. Thank you very much. It was, this is my second year being here as a CEO. I've worked here at the casino for roughly probably about almost going on 11 years and 30 years altogether with the Coeur d'Alene tribe. But you know, one of the things with this remodel is, and you know, when your Hardy B operation is the gaming floor, it was very it was a tough decision. You know, we have a real good executive team here, and we weighed all the pros and cons, and then once we decided to pull the trigger and still being able to remodel the gaming floor and flipping the floor and moving machines around, we actually did really good. We still increased profits, you know, and we made some money while we were doing it, which was great.
Congratulations, and congratulations to you. I know you have a great team up there, and I know it takes hard work and dedication to these projects are pretty big and massive, so hats off to you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. We have a great team up here. Good people.
Yep. Tell me a little bit about where you were born, your family, what you did growing up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was born in Tacoma, Washington, and back in 1967. My dad was just coming out of the Vietnam War, and he was stationed at Fort Lewis, and he finished his last part of his tour there, I was born in 67, and he was honorably discharged from the military, from the Army. He was a specialist, and he went into being a police officer, first Native American police officer in the Tacoma Police Department. He was a patrol officer. Yeah, and that was back in the 60s, right? And so he was a patrol officer, and he ended up being, from a patrol officer, he was a narcotics detective, homicide detective, and then ended up working on vice. So he moved right up the ranks. He was a very, very disciplined person and very structured. But he did that for till like 1974, I think, is when we moved to the Spokane Indian Reservation. So my sister and I, we moved from Hilltop in Tacoma there up into the Spokane Indian Reservation, where my grandmother was a Spokane tribal member, enrolled tribal member. My grandfather's Coeur d'Alene. And so we lived up in Wellpinit at their cattle ranch, and going from a urban setting to a reservation setting to a cattle operation, to a ranch. We had almost 300 head of cattle and about 40 head of horses that we were on our ranch. So it was really good. I was a very good, you know, I grew up my young life up until up in Wellpinit on the Spokane Indian Reservation. I had a lot of family up there. And in between there, I would travel over to the Coeur d'Alene Reservation with my grandfather, who had family over here. we'd come over for powwows and traditional event ceremonies, and also come over just to stay with my aunts and my uncles, and then spend some of the summer over here working for my grandpa's farmer and his renter that was farming his land. So had two homes, two very good homes. And I, you know, being up here in the Pacific Northwest, and there's no other place like being on the Coeur d'Alene Reservation in summertime, as well as the Spokane Reservation. You know, the winters are pretty hard here, but you know the landscape is beautiful and have some really good people around me.
Yeah, so you straddled two reses, right? And I know your grandfather was in the ranching business, and I know there was also a lot of timber and logging and stuff, right?
Yeah, up on the Spokane Reservation, they were mostly
mining.
Back in the 70s. Mining, yeah, they had the Dawn Mining up there.
Yeah.
They had they were timber agriculture resource, ranching, cattle ranching, and so you know, tribes in that back in that time is I don't know if you remember like the Indian Manpower and Economic Development Sustainability under some of the Nixon administration was going on, and a lot of federal dollars were getting siphoned over to tribes for economic development, economic sustainability. So I came about during that era, so I got to see a lot of good development going on up there.
Now, was this before gaming when you grew up?
Yeah, this was actually before gaming, you know, when I grew up here on the Coeur d'Alene Reservation, I actually graduated in high school over here almost a year after Laura did. And growing up over here, you know, it was always tough and just like any other reservation, you know, the jobs were seasonal. They were, you know, here on the Coeur d'Alene Reservation was all timber and agricultural jobs, seasonal jobs, firefighting jobs, and so jobs were pretty scarce. So you had to get in the loop early. And then growing up as a young person, it was pretty tough to get any kind of summer youth employment, whether you would pull green chain or clean up at the mill, or you would work for a farm producer as, you know, picking up rocks and sticks in a field or driving a wheat truck. It was pretty limited, you know. There was a high per cap of people on the reservation and very limited jobs. And so when the Coeur d'Alene tribe decided to go into the gaming business, you know, that was something that was, we were, you know, it started out as a bingo hall. And I think, of course, you know how gaming compacts are with the state of Idaho, and I think they thought that we were just supposed to be a bingo hall, but we grew into a mass destination resort that we are today. We've been in business this month for 26 years, and
it's amazing.
Had some great leadership. Yeah, thanks. So we have had a lot of great leadership during that time and long vision, and we got, you know, Laura and I are part of the executive team and the leadership here at the Coeur d'Alene Casino, as well as some other tribal members, and our past leaders that have been here have really been able to get us a sustainable economy, sustainable business with a strong foundation to build from. And so we're trying to figure out right now where we're going to go from the next 26 years from here. So it's really, really been a very very lucky. And, you know, I was just looking at some of the tribal numbers here and some of the tribal people. And, it's really, really, really humbling, and it's very good experience to come into work every day. And, you know, you look at you ask about yourself, and I do this often with myself, is, you know, assessing, you know, myself, where I'm at, where I've been in my life, where I'm at and where I'm going to be going. But it's really, really satisfying to come to work to see, you know, the success is really on the face of our people, is on our employees here, our young employees, tribal employees, and the success on the faces of our children and our grandchildren, and be able to have something here for the next 26 years. So a very satisfying job, you know, and running a business of this sort, and, you know, as being in gaming, you know, you got your good days and your bad days, but, you know, you can only get those attaboys once in a while, but you got to keep moving. You got to change with the business, and you got to keep moving.
Yeah, and you know, it all starts with leadership, and you guys have had a amazing chairman, Stensgar, Laura, your father, who is extraordinary. And you know, in all my travels in Native Nations, I've only met a couple of tribal leaders who have had that kind of tenure. Stan Jones from the Tulalip tribe being another one who was, you know, in tribal politics and chairman for over 40 years. Talk to me a little bit about Chairman Stensgar and his mentorship and influence.
Well, he was a very big influence in my life. I was when I first came back here to the Coeur d'Alene Reservation, and I had my little couple 3 years down in Haskell, Lawrence, Kansas, at college, and came back, and was able to see his leadership in action. And, you know, he held that seat as a chairman and as a council person for, geez, almost 30, what, how many years is it now, Laura?
About 30, yeah.
A little over 30 years. But, you know, he's a former Marine, he's a combat veteran, Purple Heart recipient, and he has some great leadership skills. And being able as a young person myself to look up to a man like that, to be able to watch his transitional leadership and how he's a real diplomatic and he's a really a representative of the Coeur d'Alene tribe, and seeing him in action was really amazing to me. And I used him as an example, you know, when I was able to get into tribal politics, and I really was able to follow him and learn from him and as a mentor and kind of show you the ropes, because as you know, in tribal politics, or anybody that's been in that arena or has thrown their hat in or has been a tribal leader, it doesn't come with a book. You know, it doesn't come with a book. You have to really, have to be on your toes, and you really got to be a transitional leader. But one thing that Ernie has always told me as a young tribal leader, as a tribal member, is like, if you make all your decisions what's best for the tribe, and take all the personalities out of it, and you know, make all your decisions what's best on the tribe, and throughout the year, he says you'll never go wrong. And you can always walk away and walk with clean hands in that manner. So that's what I've always done. And so I'm very fortunate to be a part of it. He was a chairman. I was a young councilman, came up, and learned a lot from him.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the key elements that you learned from him to be in a leadership position, and also what example he showed the rest of the tribe? What were some of the three or four things do you think that are at the core of those values?
Well, I think what he would never waver away from. He would never he wouldn't compromise or make concessions based on his values as a Coeur d'Alene Indian man or a Coeur d'Alene Indian. And whether it was for whatever decision it was, he would never compromise his traditions, his cultures, his upbringings. And to see that, to be able to, you know, if we were going up against the state or the federal government, he always held the line, and he never wavered from it. He never would bend. And when it came to the sovereignty of the tribe and the true sovereignty, and he always held that line. So I think that was one of his core values that I really admired, and seeing that through my leadership with Ernie.
Some of the things that you told me about Chairman was that he kept us together. It was okay to disagree. At the end of the day, we're still family, and great leaders always stay calm.
Yeah, and that's the truth. You know, he hasn't changed for that. He, you know, one of the things that he would keep everybody, like, you could have all your different opinions, and that's what tribal council is about, is have your different opinions, agree to disagree. And again, at the end of the day, be able to shake hands, give each other a hug, and still move forward as a tribe. And he really understood tribal leadership. What true tribal leadership? There's tribal politics, and then there's politics, and then there's tribal leadership. And I've always seen him in his best as a tribal leader. You know, that he was more of a tribal leader than a tribal politician. You know, and I really admire that. In this day and age, I feel very fortunate. You know, I studied leadership all the time in school, and the guys that really stayed to the line, stayed true to themselves, stayed true to their culture, stayed true to their traditions, and stayed true to their people are the ones that last a long time in this game, you know, in this lifetime, and that's their legacy they leave behind.
Yeah, you almost got to be able to remove yourself from the noise and make the right decisions, right? And I think that's the key, and we're seeing more of that in tribal politics than we did 10, 15 years ago.
And you're absolutely correct. Yeah, that's why I feel very fortunate to have been around leaders like Chairman Stensgaard and Henry Sijon, Lawrence Arepa. You know, those guys were two or three generations, four generations away from the hunters and gatherers, and they still had that. They still came up when the tribe didn't have gaming, and you know, but they still held true to their convictions as Coeur d'Alene men, Coeur d'Alene warriors, and true to their culture and their people. So I feel very fortunate to be a part of that and been able to see that and witness that with my own eyes. So I still try to keep myself balanced that way, to be able to walk in two worlds, in the business world of gaming and as well as the traditional and tribal world of being a Coeur d'Alene tribal member. So you got to be able to balance in those two worlds, and I'm very fortunate to have great leaders around me at that time.
Now, you were on the council, but then you went back to school, right?
Yeah, I was on council. I was a vice chairman, and then I always thought, man, I was getting into my late 20s, early 30s, and I thought I need to go get an education because it's always good to have enthusiasm and to be motivated to be a leader. But you still need those, in this day and age, I could see that with all my trips back to Washington, D.C. and in Congress and talking to different Congress people, congressmen, you have to have those academic credentials in that type of world, in that type of setting. So I really took it upon myself to really, bite the bullet and go to school full time while I was still a vice chairman. And it was tough. I was a single dad. I was in a master's program at Eastern Washington University. And I wanted to get done with it, so I was carrying 25 credit hours, a single dad, and a vice chairman, and a planning director for the tribe. But, it's one of those things that if you really set your mind to it and you're really hungry and a starving man is going to be able to survive, and if you're motivated enough, you'll get it done, in which I did. And it took me about two years to get it done, and I ended up with my master's. So it's really opened up a lot of doors for me. I've worked for the federal government, for the Department of Energy, for a little bit after I left Tribal Council. I worked at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, the cleanup, and I was on the executive team with the site manager, and as well as some of the tribal liaisons for the Yakima Nation, Umatilla Nation, Nez Perce Tribe, and the Wampum people that had treaty rights right there on the site. So it's opened up so many doors for me. I'm very fortunate to have done that. And being able to do that with gaming dollars that was able to get me a scholarship to go back to school to get that done. So I was in a time of an era I was very lucky.
Now, education is so important, and I really respect that you were in a position of power, but then went and got your education. Can you explain to our audience a little bit about what the education did for you that changed you and made you better than what you were as a leader?
Well, education, anytime you really dedicate yourself and you really go after education, what it really did for me is really opened up my mind to the different things that go along with that happen in this world and different personalities. It really helped me with transitional leadership, how to deal with different people from in one setting to be able to just at a snap of finger and transition into another. But it really taught me and it buckled me down about being disciplined and about getting the work done. You want good things to come to you, you really have to work hard for it. And I think those work ethics in my job, work ethics if it's education, or even your work ethics of being a good father, if you have those things available to you, you got to take those opportunities and run with them and make the best you can out of them. A lot of these things that we do in the tribal world doesn't come with an owner's manual. You have to be on top of your
street skills,
game, so to speak. Right.
Yep. And so you got to know the street and you got to know the academic, and you had both, right?
Right, and I was very lucky. I was very lucky to know that, to be able to grow up in an urban neighborhood as a young person and transition into a ranch, transition to reservation lifestyle, and then coming back out. You got to have an arsenal. You got to have a lot of arrows in your quiver to be able to survive in this world. And I was very fortunate enough to be able to go after and see it and take opportunities and use it.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, Frenchie. I mean, my father taught me to be a chameleon. So you should be able to have a conversation with a homeless person and the president of the United States. And I think that's really the quality that that a great leader has, right? That's where you straddle all those stratas of social differences, right? In your leadership, correct?
Oh yeah. Exactly, you know, and you know, it's, and again, it's just all of our experiences as life from when we're young people up until today. I'm, you know, and I'm still learning. I'm 52 years old, and every day I learn. Every day I learn from my staff. I learn from my colleagues. I learn from my elders. Every day, and you never stop learning until to the last day you're on this earth, you know. And so we're very fortunate, but we got to be able to recognize those opportunities and be able to capture those.
How did you transition from, you know, board council member to CEO? How did that occur?
Well, when I was on the first gaming board, or the, I was on the game board, and I was also a tribal council member, you know, those experiences that I have had working here for the Coeur d'Alene tribe for 30 years, from working in land services, working in administration, working with the farmers and planning director, all of those things, like I said again, you know, those are just other arrows in my quiver that I've been able to put in there and use. And I've had so many great opportunities working for the tribe, working for the federal government, and then coming here with the casino. I mean, you're dealing with the general public every day, and it's, you know, we're also dealing with tribal members. But, you know, what a great job to have to come in here and make a difference. On, you know, people come here out here to game and have entertainment and you know, spend some money, have a good meal, watch a good concert, or just come in for to socialize with other people. And what a great job to come in here and make, you know, put smiles on people's faces and try to make their day better. This is the best job I've had out of probably 30 years other than being on the tribal council.
What are the kind of things that are important skills to keep you on track? You know, how do you maintain your level of expertise and leadership for long periods of time? Because you can fall off the wagon, so to speak, in terms of you know, your goals and the things that you know. How do you keep on track?
Well, over the 30 years, I mean, I've learned so much about managing people. And I look back again when I talked about earlier about assessing yourself, where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going to go. One of the things that the best advice, if I could get even some young child members coming up or whatever in the administration or in the gaming or whatever career you're in, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to communicate effectively and efficiently. And communication is a big one. And the other one is having people around you and building yourself with a team around you that you can trust. And that's, if you can communicate and you can trust and you can keep people motivated, that's, I believe that's the secret ingredient to get things, proposals forward or whatever, have a common goal and interest. It's all those things. It's like putting in making a pot of stew. You know, you got to have the right meat, the right potatoes, the right carrots, right onions, and that's what it is. And at the end of the day, when you sit down and you have some of that stew, it's the best tasting stew. But if you have a great team around you that has a very specific skill set, or maybe they have multiple skill sets, those kind of people are really good assets on your team. And it's really tough to, you know, I've dealt with people that have been assets on the team that all of a sudden become liabilities, and then you have to deal with that, and then you have to deal with the fallout from that. But again, that's all transitional leadership. You being a leader and leader of an organization, you have to be three or four ridges ahead of everybody and planning in regards to what's happened with your business, and then come back, get rested, get the rest of the camp, and move them over to where the best hunting's at, or where the best buffalo are at, or maybe where the best huckleberries or the best camas. You know, we got to run three or four ridges in front of everybody to make sure that we survive in these next generations. The same concepts and methods that our ancestors and are three or four generations away from hunters gatherers is the same thing. It's all about survival. It's always about survival. Mm-hmm. So we go back, we go through life, we get our life experiences, we go get our education, we're able to deal in a non-tribal world, in the gaming world, in the tribal world, and those are all good assets for us to have. And again, we're three or four ridges over, and we're sending our best guys, our best hunters out there to find these spots. And so that same concepts and methods of survival from back in the time before in Memorial is the same in our business ethics here at the Coeur d'Alene Casino. And as Coeur d'Alene tribal members, myself and Laura, a lot of our executive team members who have gotten their education, came back, we embrace that, and we all get together, and we put everything up on the board, and we use all our concepts and methods that we learned in school for education, higher education, whether it's business, whether it's marketing, whether it's law, and get everything done, and then we move on. And you get people around you that know what they're doing, it makes it very easy transition to make your goals and make your milestones. So to me, in that sense, things haven't really changed. We're still the Coeur d'Alene tribe. We're still Coeur d'Alene tribal people. We have our culture, our traditions, and our ceremonial values. And then on the other side, we have our business degrees, we have our law degrees, we have our marketing degrees.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to get that sustainability, and we're trying to do what's right for the tribe for the next 26 years from here on. So we can have another 26 years. So my children, my grandchildren, Laura's children, her grandchildren have something to come back to and something to work for. And so, that's our responsibility. And again, at the end of the day, it's always, in the business world, it's what you put at the bottom line. That's how you measure your success. But with myself, and I'm sure Laura's the same way, is we measure our success by the faces of our children and our grandchildren, that they have sustainability, they have education, they have housing, they have jobs to come to. That's where you really measure the success. That's how I feel in my own heart.
It's a great, great way. And in our culture and my heritage, it's basically, I'm Italian, so it's basically exactly what you said. Tell me a little bit about where the business is now and where we're going.
Well, we're actually working on a master plan. We just finished the remodel. We're pretty much in a gaming corridor right now. For the last 26 years, we've had the Kalispell tribe, who is just to the west of us on the plains. They're probably about 45, 50 miles away. The Spokane tribe is right next to their casino on the Airway Heights up there. To the north of us, we have the Kootenai tribe. That's just north of Coeur d'Alene here in Idaho. They have a casino. And then south of us is the Nez Perce tribe down in the Clearwater, down around Lewiston and Clarkson area. So we are in a competitive market, and we all respect each other's tribes and what we do. But when it comes to business, we're in a competitive market. There's some places where we can still share our resources and really strengthen ourselves. But when it comes to the gaming, you can see it's a very competitive market. And, tribes, whether you're playing basketball, softball, or stick game, you're always competitive, And so we're the same way in the business. So that's the same way we've been doing the business. But what we're doing is we're located right on our homelands, and we're located right next to Coeur d'Alene Lake. We have a beautiful lake. We have beautiful mountains, beautiful hiking. We're right in the middle of a big tourist area. So what we're doing now is we're developing a master plan, a 5- and 10-year master plan, at the direction of Chairman Stensgaard. When I came into this job, the first thing he pulled me aside my first day was that he was, we need to have a master plan. We need to know where we're going to go for the next 5 or 10 years. He said, so he goes, when I'm not here and you're not here and Laura's not here or some other tribe like Margaret Sijon, some other tribe members out here, he goes, the next generation will have a roadmap to the success. So we have the dollars now. Let's get it done, and let's get this roadmap where it's going to take us the next 5, 10, 15 years. So that's what we've been working on. It's been very, very good experience. We've been having retreats with our executive team. We got to have a retreat with the tribal council to bring them up to speed what we're doing. But we're going to be doing some great things. We're going to be putting together a master plan for this property and some other properties that we have. And once we unveil that to the tribal council and get their blessing on it, we're going to be going 100 miles an hour. We have to stay competitive in this market. And in gaming, if you just stay status quo, you're going to get passed up, and you're going to get – it doesn't take long to get 5 to 10 years behind your competitor. And so we want to be there with them. We want to be there to share that market, but we're going to recapture our market share. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, some really, really great concepts. Should we take some calls? We've got a lot of people waiting here.
Sure.
Let's do it. Great conversation.
Yes, thanks, Tino.
This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question or questions for Frenchie?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Hello.
Yeah, real good. My name is Phil Tyler.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Excellent. I'm calling from Spokane, and I just wanted to add my commentary for Frenchie, or should I say CEO?
Sure.
Mr. Saijon, as a leader, you know, I've known Frenchie for some time now. I coached his son in youth football for years, and I knew Frenchie when he was in charge of guest services at the casino. Yeah. And I can tell
unbelievable.
You this, from a leadership standpoint, I've coached and worked with executives from Seattle to Chicago. And one of the things that I've seen in Frenchie that's made him so successful since his election in 2016 is that he has commitment and passion. And not only for his people, mm-hmm. his people, his tribe, but for his employees and their success, not simply his. He's a great communicator. Frenchie's able to listen, and this skill is not one that all leaders possess. You know, he has a unique skill to share his stories, his experiences, in an authentic and vulnerable fashion, thus making him easy to connect with. You know, his communication style, I would list it as relational, not transactional.
Yeah.
And that's
a very important thing.
Oh, huge, huge for leadership. And this brother, he inspires others, you know, whether to be better or just give a little more. You know, his own trajectory to the top, in effect, has been an inspiration for others like myself. You know, seeing a person of color succeed truly inspires others to do those things. You know, it's mm-hmm. the things that he does on an everyday basis during every interaction that inspires others who witness it. And I'll end with this. You know, his respect. He respects others, and he has self-respect. You know, he knows we are not perfect, nor is he, and nor does he expect perfection, or let that a singular mistake or misstep define a person. He treats us with dignity, and he treats his family, his employees out there with dignity, thus earning the respect of them. You know, that's what a humble leader does. And that's a rare quality in a lot of C-suite executives today.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank
you're
you.
Very well
Thank
said.
You, Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, no,
very,
no,
very
I'm,
well
I'm
said.
Just speaking the truth, brother. You know, I would ask this, though. I'd say, you know, what, Frenchie, what's been your proudest moment since you were appointed to CEO?
Well, that's a good question, Phil, and thank you for tuning in and listening. I appreciate those, first of all, those good words that say and what you put out there. I really appreciate you very much, Phil, and thank you for those kind words. I guess my best moment was probably taking on this remodel job, you know, taking on this remodel project, just because, number one, it's the heart of the operation, and, you know, we've never had any kind of remodel or any construction excuse me going on during the during our gaming hours. We're a 24-hour operation, and you know, we don't close our doors. We're open 24/7, 365. Excuse me. And it was very nerve-wracking to be able to have to shut part of the gaming floor down and you know, move machines and set them up somewhere else and make sure that we're still making the profits. I mean, it was so nerve-wracking. It's like, because this is a main revenue stream into the tribe. And if I have one slip-up or I have one one bad day or we can't get the machines up and running, that means no revenue for the tribe. And they all bought in after I made the presentation to them for almost over 6 to 8 months. The executive team bought into it. The employees bought into it. And I went to them and said, do you think we are ready to make this move? I said, I'm not ready to make this move until you guys are. And when they gave me confirmation on that, and I said, well, we're either all in or we're all out. And everybody's like, we're all in. So we did that, and how we had custodial, we had executives, we had everybody help moving these machines. It was just like you would imagine an ant pile of ants just working and moving machines, and I mean, we had people from different departments that would work 8 hours here, get off work, and come in and help some moving a lot of these machines. It was very stressful, but they all came together. You know, we all came together for the common good of the casino, and we had our video gaming manager Oscar Flores. We had facility director Rod Rod Black, also had an owner's rep by the name of Ray Brown, who is from the Vegas area, who does this for a living and has flipped floors at MGM, Station Casinos down in Las Vegas. So I got networked in with him, and without him and the great team that we had here, that everybody was on the floor, it wouldn't have never happened. So I'd have to say that was my best moment here, in probably being in the CEO, being in this capacity. That was the one that just stands out so much for me.
Wow.
Very fortunate.
I appreciate that. Now I'll let you guys go, but as both of you know, culture starts from the top. Keep soaring, Frenchie. Keep soaring.
All right. I appreciate it, Phil. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, brother.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Great question. Best team wins, right, Frenchie?
Team wins. One of the things
teamwork.
We always said is that all teamwork is that we're either going to succeed, or we're going to succeed together, we're going to fail together. But I told him I'm not going to let you fail. You know, we're going to provide every resource available, and what a great moment.
It's a fantastic story. Hello, I have Frenchie on the line. It's Tino. Do you have a question for him?
I have three, and this is Heidi from Temecula, Southern California. How are you gentlemen this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
I am fabulous, and if you had to see my notepad, I have never, ever made so many notes. So, Frenchie, you've kept my attention. A great story. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So I have three quick questions for you. The first one is, I read an article where you said, where they said there were many tribal members that applied for the next CEO position for your cassette. They chose you in particular. Why do you think you were the choice?
Well, I'm not sure. I went up against a really good, some really good applicants. I couldn't really tell. I don't know if it was just maybe the part of the presentation that I had, but that we had some very good qualified other applicants that were in there, and that are actually here working at the casino, which are real gems and really great employees. But I couldn't really tell you for sure why. But you know, I've taken on the job. I take my job very serious, and you know, I want to work hard for my tribe, because I have a vested interest here, not only because it's my job. I have a vested interest here because these are my people. This is my tribe. This is my homeland.
Sure.
And I have every reason to succeed. And so, like I said, I don't take my job lightly. I take it very serious. And there's a lot riding on it. So.
And I love the fact that you came from the guest experience, from the guest service area of the casino. So. With with your expansion that you've done, the great new entertainment area, etc., and particularly where you are, because you've said it's so competitive, you know your guests are going to go back and they're not going to say, oh, gosh, you know, Coeur d'Alene has got such beautiful chandeliers and carpets and a new service bar that you have, but the employees were terrible. But we're going to go back again because of the carpet and the chandelier. You know that's never going to happen, right? So how do you ensure your teams provide the best guest service and best experience that will match the level of the resort that you've put together now?
Well, what we've done here at the Coeur d'Alene Casino is, you know, you could have the best chandeliers, the best carpet and everything, but if you don't have guest service or customer service, or respect for our guests that are coming in the door. That's been some of our philosophy, is that we really have a real tribal hospitality. You're not coming into our casino. You're coming into our home. You're coming into our home. And like if I was to go into your home and you would come in my home, I would make you come in, sit you down, make you feel comfortable, ask you if you'd like, would you like a beverage, and just treat you like you're at home. And that kind of philosophy that has been ingrained here for 26 years is like the unspoken truth. People here that have worked here, that's our tribal hospitality. We would never have you come in here, ignore you, treat you with disrespect, and then say, oh, yeah, here, by the way, here's a video gaming device. Here, spend your money. And then, by the way, come back. It's not our philosophy.
do you have a high percentage of tribal members working at the casino?
Yeah, you know, in fact, I was just meeting with our HR director, and we were going over the numbers. We have close to 850 employees working for us full time right now, and probably about almost 30% of those are tribal members. Every tribal member that's able to work and wants to region, all the way from Silver Valley down to Clarkston up into Elk River, Idaho, that drive 2 or 3 hours just to come here, because we this is a corporation, it is a casino, but we're more like a family. Even with our non-tribal members, that you're part of the social capital here at the casino, so you're treated fairly, and we have great benefits. And I believe that's what keeps everybody coming back, is that it is like one big family here, because people have retired here.
Wonderful.
We got employees at 18, 19 years. We got people here that have been here 3 weeks, and they come in, and we come back, we check them. How do you feel? How do you think about things? You know, you've been here for about a month. They're like, wow, I've never worked at a place like this. I never knew. I feel like I'm family. Everybody knows me.
I love it.
That makes a big difference.
And a unique competitive advantage. Thank you so much, Frenchie. I really enjoyed, and I hope to see you at NIGA as well as you, Tina.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. I'll be there. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
Nidhi. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Great questions and great answers.
Great questions, yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. This is Tino Magnetta. I have Frenchie on the line. Do you have a question for him?
Hi, Tino. Hi, Francis. This is Rob Watson. Francis,
hey, Rob.
My dad worked down with you down at Hanford. I'm sure you're probably growing, too. Welcome on your congrats on your expansion and becoming a bigger destination resort in the area here. Do you feel your property is able to attract players from a further market away? Have you expanded your marketing potential? And I was just kind of curious on what you guys' plan is to expand out and try to attract more players.
Well, that's a good question, Rod, and thanks for calling in. And that's one of the things as a business, and I mentioned this before, is if we stay status quo and we're in a gaming market and you draw a circle around our market, we have three or four other tribal casinos that are trying to get after the same customer, and so we saturate that market. So what we've been doing this last couple of years with Laura and I, and coming up with a marketing strategic plan where we're actually into Northern Oregon, Eastern Oregon, and as well into Montana and Southern Idaho. And we're also looking at in the Seattle area. I mean, we got to get out there and get different gamers. But we're also doing a very big push on the international tourism portion and the culture tourism here at the Coeur d'Alene Casino. And so we've been meeting with groups from Europe, Italy, France, Mexico. We got a lot of international groups that are booking hotel rooms here. We're sharing our culture, but in a respectful way, and then also giving them opportunity to lake tourism, recreation, and things of that sort. And so I think that we're doing all kinds of fantastic things. We're thinking out of the box, because we're going to have to, because again, we got three or four gaming operations within our circle now. So it's kind of tough to keep going after the same customer, so we gotta look outside that box. So we
destination resort. You guys have a beautiful area up there, and wish you guys luck.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing you down here sometime.
You bet.
All right. Thank you.
Great stuff. All right.
Yeah, that's some good questions.
Yeah, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Frenchie on the line. Do you have a question for him?
Hello, is that you, Tino?
Hello.
Yeah, it's me. We're talking to each other.
I guess it's just us, brother.
If you can't, hold on one sec. Let me try to get. Oh, I think that person just fell off. So let's go. If you're listening, call back, and we'll get you when you call back. We're gonna go to another caller. So you just dropped the line. So let me get another caller on. Hello, this is Tina Magnetta. Do you have a question for Frenchie?
Aloha, it's Michael Ka'ahanui. How are you guys today?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Good, good. Great show so far, Frenchie. I think you've been doing a just a fantastic show today. And I love the core values that you're bringing. Hey, one of the questions that I always like, you know, it's for the next, you know, oftentimes you hear about seven generations, three behind, the one now, and the three in front of us. And it sounds like your planning really involves that. How do you incorporate developing tribal members to be the next leaders?
Well, you know, that's what we do here at the Coraline Casino. I'll give you a quick example, is that, you know, what I'm trying to get going is some scholarships at local universities in the hospitality business, food and beverage business, and maybe even into some marketing. But we have a really, it's really ironic that you asked this question, because we've had a tribal member, a young tribal member, and we continually tell our young people, and as myself and Laura and the rest of the executive tribal members have been here, is like, our old people, our tribal elders have always told us, you have to go get your education. You're going to have to leave home, and you're going to have to go get your education, but you always can come back and help your people out. So we had this one young individual, this young tribal member had, who grew up here, and he went on to college, and he became a real good athlete, football star down in Southern Idaho. He just contacted me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago and graduated with his bachelor's in marketing. And the timing couldn't have been more perfect. Laura and I was talking about, you know, how do we promote young tribal members? How do we make it attractive for them to come back here to work, and aside all the tribal politics and whatnot? But this young individual came in, and Laura had a great idea. We're like, where do we put this guy to work? Where do we put him to work? And what she came up with was a plan to be able to, we contract with a marketing firm out in Spokane, is that he would spend half his time at a marketing firm, and he has his concepts and methods, a very smart marketing up in the Spokane area. He can work on game and marketing, or he can work on whatever marketing else that firm is doing. And then 2 days out of the week, he comes down here and he works in our marketing department here. So that being said, the timing, again, was an opportunity for this young man. He took it, and so we have a career path for him to see if that, you know, really put his concepts and methods to work. He's got a marketing degree. He's going to be a great asset for the tribe. And we want to encourage more tribal members to do that. Like I said, with WSU, we have an agreement with, the tribe has an agreement with them for education, higher education. University of Idaho, they're just both south of us. Eastern Washington University is, you know, a 40-minute drive here, where Laura and I both are alumni there and graduate from there. And she's a graduate from U of I Business College. You know, we have these opportunities, and we have to grow it within ourselves. We have to be able to get our social capital, our young people, our younger generation, and get them interested in looking at this type of business. It's not just a casino. It's an economic engine for this region, and so it becomes even more. And so we want to encourage that. We want to be able to hire summer youth. Laura's putting together a program where we can hire some summer youth that are 14, 15 years old, are in high school, need a summer job. Come in and work in marketing, work in the food and beverage industry, work in administration, work in HR, and just kind of open up their minds and create those opportunities. Those opportunities that when we were growing up, those opportunities were very limited, but they were there. But now we got more opportunities, and we're doing good business, so why not create something like that for them? So those are, again, the success stories. Those decisions that we make now, we might not see the benefit of that. But the generation, you know, 5 to 10 years when we're gone and out of here, they're going to see the fruits of our labor here. So it's an evolving thing. It never shuts down.
That's fantastic.
Thanks.
All good points.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, it's great that you have an opportunity to kind of recognize tribal members and get them moving forward. As a leader, you know, I think we've all, through our years, kind of developed some core things that we focus all of our energies around. But sometimes those come up as pet peeves, things that you see that, you know, just kind of bug you just a little bit. What are your pet peeves, you know, when you go to work every day that you look for to make sure they don't happen?
Well, my pet peeve is you know, I guess one of my pet peeves is when I come in onto the property, you know, I come in at different entrances and exits to the casino all the time. And I want to make sure that when I come here on a daily basis, I go through, maybe I'll go through the back of the house, or I'll maybe go through the front of the house, or I'll come into the side door. But I don't just generally come up to the back door of the executive office, come in my office, and then shut the door. I want to come here during the day. My day starts about 5:30 in the morning when I'm reading security reports, manager on duty reports from graveyard shift. I'm looking at the VGS reports to see what the percentage of the gaming floor is. So I have to get up and read all of those reports before I get here to work. And then when I get here to work, I'm down, I'm talking with the guys that are on the floor. You got the troops that are on the ground. That's where you're going to get the real flavor, the really truth of the day, see what's happened, what we can do better, listening to our employees. I'll come to the hotel and I'll talk to some of the housekeepers and see how things are going. So that's kind of been my own little pet peeve or my strategies is I take about 2 hours. Sometimes it takes me, depends on how busy we are, it takes me 3 hours to get up to my office. But that's actually good time for me to really see what's happening on the floor, whether it's I'm talking to a custodial guy or an HVAC engineer, or maybe I'm just talking to a gaming supervisor on the floor. Or better yet, I even get to stop and talk to some of the customers and sit down and have a cup of coffee, the ones that I've, you know, new customers that I know, or they might know me and they call me aside. And that's where you get the great intel and great information on how successful your business is running. And then by the time I get up here, it'll be like, you know, 10 o'clock or so, and then my administration work starts after that. So I guess
that's
my pet.
Amazing. It's great. Yeah. Michael,
no,
thank
awesome.
You so much.
Hey, thank you. You can really tell the positive energy, Frenchie. You guys are doing a great job. Have a good one tonight.
All right, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, and Michael, I heard you got hired at Penn, right? Penn National?
That is correct. I'll be joining as a Vice President of Marketing.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Congratulations, Mike.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Frenchie?
Hello?
Hey,
hello.
How are ya?
Oh,
you?
I'm
fell
good,
off
hey?
Last time, but we got you back. So.
Yeah, I was trying to get in and on that call, and like, I couldn't do it. So here we are. Anyway, so
okay,
I'm going to go ahead and ask
some
questions, Sir Francis.
Sure.
My understanding, you guys are on a renovation. Can you tell me a little bit about the renovation and how that's coming along?
Well, we're just actually finished up with the renovation. We finished about 4 months ahead of schedule and $1 million under budget. And we've been 62,000 square foot remodel on our main gaming floor as well as our event center. We have a new HVAC system that we put in and has new smoke eaters in there. And so, you know, it's actually went very well. We had a really good team of employees, owners, reps, and facility guys that really turned it up, and they really did an outstanding job. And I owe it to those guys that were on the floor to be able to finish 4 months ahead of schedule, and as well as $1 million under budget. So it's all good, positive things that are going on up here at the remodel. It's doing great. People are liking it. We have, you know, it was a little bit of confusion October, November, December for some of our guests, but We had good wayfinding signs. We had great staff that just, you know, took ownership of it to be able to help our guests and locate their machines and communication to our guests. So it all turned out really great. And now the end product is our customers are coming back, and they're loving the new facility that we have down here. So thanks.
Okay. Well, that sounds all good, and I'm excited to come on down there and come to some of your events there. I always like going to your events. So that event center got a new sound system?
Yeah, we got a new sound system on our event center. We got a remodeled. We got a brand new stage. We've partnered up with Porchlight Entertainment, a gentleman by the name of Chris Loudon out of Las Vegas. He owns a Stoney's Rockin' Country, and he's been doing our event buying for us. And our first main kickoff event is going to be May 3rd with Cole Swindell. And he's at the top of the charts right now, and we have a brand new sound system and light system. And I tell you what, those guys came up from Chris brought some of his lighting guys up from Vegas, and they were hooking everything up. I tell you what, that facility and that sound system is top shelf, boy. We're going to have some great shows. We're putting together a summer series. Laura and I was just talking to some of our event buyers. And we're putting together a really good summer series here for the Coeur d'Alene people. I think we're calling it Coeur Summer Fest. And so we're going to have a one heck of a lineup. We're getting contracts and confirmations, and so we'll be coming out of that on our website here within probably next week. So,
okay.
If you want to come on down, you sure have a good time, and you know, if you bring your hubby down or whatever, and you guys will have a great time. We have a great buffet down there, seafood buffet night. We got great food, great entertainment, and we got some really fabulous machines. We got some good Class 3 machines that you don't have in Washington, so come on down.
Oh, I will. I will. Me and my girlfriends are ready to come down and celebrate. So thank you very much, Preston, for
your time.
I appreciate it.
You bet.
Yes,
come on
exciting.
Down. We'll see you soon. All right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. That was great. Good stuff. All right. Let's move on here. Let me just see. You guys hear me? Okay. Francis?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thought I'd lost you there for a second. All right, let's get the next caller on. Let me see here. Man, there's so many. All right, here we go. Hi, this is Tino Magnetta. I've Frenchie on the line. Do you have a question for him?
Good evening.
Oh, there you go. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Can you hear us? Are you in bad area, or can you hear us? I guess you're
in
a bad area. Okay. You can hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Do you have a question for Frenchie?
Yes. Good evening, guys. An amazing show again tonight. Frenchie, one of the questions I have, and it radiates through the integrity that appears you have. Has there been, I mean, you look at your 50 years of being rambling around out where you're at and the different tribal areas, that priceless education, is that still happening in the tribe so the young people grow up with the same respect and integrity that you have and pride?
I believe it is. You know, it's a way of life up here. You know, we have those families or those types of leaders. We have those young people that are really engaged with the tribal issues and tribal issues at hand, and they well educate themselves on what those topics are. And I think that just even with myself, you know, growing up in tribal politics and things of that sort, I remember being with my grandfather and my dad and being able to have to go to these meetings and go to these council meetings, go to these general council meetings and listen to the people talk. You know, my grandpa would always say, hey, you better listen up, because one of these days you're going to be sitting up there trying to answer these questions. I would never thought in 100 years that I would be there, but I was very fortunate that's when you start beginning to learn. That's when it's a case of help to survive and help your people survive in that sense. And being in there at a young time, I think that the more the young people get involved, the better off our tribe is going to be. Because, again, those are being generations of our next tribal leaders. And so if we're not educating them and not help point them in the right direction and help, you know, make more critical decision-making skills, you know, where are we going to be as a tribe in the future?
Sure. Well, and it's obvious, again, you touched on your grandfather. When you brought him up before, the life experiences he shared with you and the knowledge that he gave you that you didn't even know you were getting is priceless. Mm-hmm. And the integrity that he's taught you, that starts then. It doesn't start with a college degree. That starts way then. And I just hope that the efforts that you have and the heart that you have and the passion and integrity can trickle down, because tonight's the first night I've heard one of these that I think of the whole situation of the tribe completely different than I have before. And you're building the future, and it needs to continue to build. I mean, culture is changing in our country so crazily anyway. But to think what it's like on a tribe where 50 years ago you were playing in a dirt field, now it's a huge casino.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess congratulations. Keep up the great work. I know that you've got a lot of people to that want to talk to you, but congratulations and bless you for the person you are.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're a good
thank
man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That was fantastic. Frenchie, we're out of time. It's been
okay.
It's been an incredible show. Really appreciate it. Laura, thank you, too. And I want you on the show, too, Laura. We'll talk about that. I want Chairman on the show. You guys are fantastic. So continue everything you're doing. And our viewers, I have tons of people who still want to call in. And we're out of time, but we'll have more of the people from Coeur d'Alene on the show. So stay tuned. And thank you so much, guys. It's been fantastic.
All right, thank you, Tino, and thank you for the great opportunity to allow us to be on the air with you, and it's a great opportunity, and we'd sure like to share again at any time. Lord, do you have anything?
Oh, no, thanks, Tino, and you take care. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys. Yes, we will
right.
talk soon. I'll talk to you guys
right.
later. Have a good one. Okay.
You too, Tino. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was fantastic. A lot of concepts were explored. A lot of great wisdom, and Tribe is just fantastic. Great leadership, great people, and everybody's working together for a common cause. Next Thursday, I believe it's the 24th, yeah, at 5:30 PST again, I have Ryan Froberg, who's the CMO of Casino del Sol, and he's a very good friend, and he has an amazing story and some personal things that he had to overcome in his life, which later became very valuable for him moving forward. And I hope that you all tune in. Remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You have to just have time to listen. Have a good night, and God bless.